like to read with you this evening in John's Gospel, please, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16. The Lord Jesus is the speaker in verse 7, and he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now I want to look at another text on the same subject, back in the first book of our Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Interestingly enough, this is not the first reference to the Holy Spirit. If we were going to notice that reference, we'd have to turn to the very opening verses of our Bible, and we may refer to them as we go along. But I want you to notice verse 3 of Genesis chapter 6. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. My spirit shall not always strive with man." I think, beloved friend, that in these verses we have brought before us one of the wonderful truths of this age. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, the Lord Jesus is talking about going away. And he says, if I go away, the Comforter will come. Now, of course, it's always important to see who is being addressed by such words. And, of course, I'm sure most of us realize he was speaking to his own disciples. And how wonderful it is to know that a Comforter has been provided for his own during these years when he is in the glory in heaven. This age, beloved, is marked by two great special features. There's a man in the glory at God's right hand, and the Holy Spirit of God is here present on the earth. Now, when the Lord Jesus was speaking of him as the Comforter, let me assure you, friend, that if you're not one of his, if you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit of God is not your Comforter. He's not your Comforter. In fact, I believe in the words that follow in John 16, we learn something of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in the hearts and lives of those who are not Christ, those who are not saved. And friend, that statement in Genesis chapter 6, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Oh, what an indication we have here, even in those verses, in those words, of God's tremendous interest in men and women. The very fact that God strives with men. You know, God could have just said, well, they've turned away from me. They've rebelled against me. They've sinned against me. I'm just going to let them to go on in their own pathways. But that isn't the God of our Bible, friend. And that isn't the God that we want to speak to you about tonight. God is a God of salvation. God is a God who loves men and women, boys and girls. Oh, he doesn't love our sins. He hates sin. And he has decided, friend, that sin will never enter heaven. He's not going to let it in. And because all of us have sinned, we're in difficulties, we're in problems. But thank God for this word, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, I'm glad it doesn't say, my spirit shall not strive with man. I want to tell you, friend, that apart from the striving of the Holy Spirit of God, there wouldn't be one of us saved and on our way to heaven tonight. Not one of us. Apart from the gracious work of the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts, we'd never have a thought about our sin, never have a thought about the solemn fact that one day we're going to have to meet a holy God. And we're going to have to give an account of ourselves to God. We'd never have a desire for salvation at all. I wonder if you've ever thought about your sin. I wonder, friend, if you've ever stopped in the presence of death to think, one day I must die. One day I must launch out of time into eternity. I want to tell you, friend, that every thought that we have about our souls and their need of a Savior and about death and eternity is something that's produced in our hearts and minds by the gracious working of the Holy Spirit. Now, our hearts are a battleground. Oh yes, there is another voice being heard and has been heard down through the history of men. And I want to tell you, friend, that voice is a voice of the deceiver, the liar, the cheat. And the solemn thing is, friend, if you're not listening to the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, then without realizing it at all, you are listening to the voice of the deceiver. Now, I want to say that while there is a conflict, and this one power is an enemy to deceive and to destroy, an enemy that, if we follow him, will take us to a long eternity of separation from God and of weeping, of wailing, of gnashing of teeth. Thank God there is that Holy Spirit of God working in the world today, and many of us in this company tonight with thanksgiving can look back in our lives to that gracious work. When our hearts were stirred, when our hearts were troubled, when our hearts were burdened with a sense of our sin and guilt, and then to that gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit when he opened our eyes to the fact that God loved us, that God had given his precious Son to die for our sin. And we thank God for that moment when the Spirit of God revealed him as not just the sinner's Savior, but the Savior of us individually as guilty lost sinners. You know, God isn't going, while he's seeking to bless, God doesn't violate the will of man. God is not going to save you, friend, against your will. Now, God is going to use every means possible to compel you. Well, he'll use reason, he'll use conscience, he'll use fear, he'll use his love. And every one of these are instruments that the Spirit of God would use through his word to bring to our hearts conviction of sin. My spirit shall not always strive with man. My beloved friend, if you are thinking about the salvation of your never dying soul, you should treasure above all else, those thoughts because they are the evidence of the Spirit of God dealing with your heart. Interestingly enough, as I suggested, we would have to turn to the very first page of our Bible if we want to be introduced to the work of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. What a majestic statement. What a majestic statement of truth. But then we have a picture that certainly indicates something terrible had happened. You know, when God created heaven and earth, it must have been wonderful. Even the traces of that cause us to marvel today, as we see evidences of the handiwork and the wisdom and the power of our wonderful God. But then we read, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You know, I believe the physical, material, is a picture of the spiritual. Oh, what was true in the physical realm, in creation, it was marred, beloved friend. And that marred creation cries out to us and declares the truth concerning man's condition. Is the heart that is not in a proper relationship to God and to His Son. We sometimes sing the little chorus, you'll never know real peace till you know Jesus. And I want to tell you, friend, that's absolutely true. Oh, yes, there is such a thing as a false peace. There is a peace that is based on ignorance. I want to tell you, this picture is completed with the thought of darkness. You know, friend, that's so true, isn't it? Men are in the dark. Their minds are darkened by the enemy. His anesthesia, if you will, to keep men unconscious of their true condition and so of their need of the Savior that God in His love has provided for them. But listen, we read these words, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There's the first reference to the Holy Spirit. Oh, my friend, if there's one thing I would desire for you is this, it is that the Spirit of God would move upon your heart. There could be no greater tragedy, my friend, than for you to go on blinded by sin, blinded by Satan, self-satisfied, self-confident, and pass out into eternity to be eternally lost. And what does we read here? God said, let there be light. Oh God, let there be light tonight. Let there be light in shine into that heart of a dear sinner in this meeting. What you need, friend, is light. Light from God on your pathway to see that you're on that broad and crowded road that will take you down to a long lost eternity. Yes, my friend, let there be light. Oh, may God grant that the light of His Word will shine into your heart. I want to tell you, friend, that's the first step in the pathway of blessing. That's the first step. You see, you need to discover you're a poor, lost, guilty sinner. What an awful thing to be thinking that you're just a fairly decent, and look, I believe likely, according to the world's standards, you are. You may be. You may be just one of the finest people in Spanish Wells, and there's a lot of fine people here I've discovered. But my friend, that is ignoring the fact that God has declared to be true, that is that you are diseased by sin. Sin has got a grip upon you, and that sin is going to take you down to a lost eternity. Oh, may God shine into your heart tonight. You need to be disturbed You need to be awakened, or you'll never be saved. God's Spirit is striving. Through the Word of God, God would convict us of our sin in order that recognizing our sin diseased condition, our danger of eternal judgment, we would then turn to the Savior that God has provided for. Oh, friend, the striving of the Spirit of God is an evidence of God's interest in man. It's an evidence of God's love. Man had no sooner sinned against God than we hear the voice of God echoing through the Garden of Eden. Adam, 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 where art thou? Now God knew where he was. Oh yes, then why did he ask? Because he wanted him to do what he wants you to do. To recognize the gulf of sin. To recognize the fact of sin. To recognize, beloved, the awful consequences of going on in your sin and missing salvation. I'm so thankful that God's Spirit is striving. You know, salvation is all God's work. Preachers can't save. None of us can save somebody else. We couldn't save ourselves. But oh, how wonderful. God is the God of salvation, and God is able to save this very moment, my friend. Any dear soul who will admit, yes, I am a guilty sinner, but I believe God's work. Christ died for sinners. Now the Lord Jesus is speaking in John 16 about the present ministry of the Holy Spirit. And what is that ministry? To convince or to convict of sin. You see, friend, apart from conviction, there is no genuine conversion. Why do you trust Christ? Why did I receive him as my Savior? Because I was convinced I was lost. And I was exposed to the judgment of God. Is that you tonight? You know, it says here that he's reproving or convicting the world of sin because they believe not on me. Oh, my friend, again, as last weekend we tried to emphasize, that's all. Believing God. Believing God. Not believing our own wicked hearts. Not believing something that the enemy whispers into our ear. But believing God. What God says. Oh, says the Lord Jesus, the sin that he's going to convince them of is of unbelief. Because they believe not on me. You know, friend, there's so much evidence, so much reason why you should believe. Oh, you think of the evidences of fulfilled scripture. You think of the evidence of the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Facts of history. You think of the changed lives that you've seen. Lives that have been transformed. Those who were convicted of their sin and genuinely converted to Christ by receiving him as their Lord and Savior. Now, I've only got a few minutes left. I want to think of conviction and conversion. And I want to say, beloved friend, there's no genuine conversion to God apart from genuine conviction by the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking of four individuals that are mentioned in our Bible, and we're not going to take time to look at them, but one, the first one is in Acts 18. It's a man called Gallio. You know, there's an interesting statement made concerning this man. Oh, he listened to some of their conversations about spiritual things, but to him it was just a matter of words and names and their law. It wasn't a message that reached his heart and conscience. And we read these words, Gallio cared for none of those things. You know, I suggest to you, here's a man that was never convicted and never converted. Oh, how sad to think of that man tonight. Any tongue has it. Convicted, convinced, but no salvation.
Now, friend, you see, this is the way it may be with some. Up until now, friend, you've let the word of God just roll off your back like water off the sheep's back. Not convicted. Not converted. Unmoved. Indifferent. Self-satisfied. And every moment, friend, taking you nearer to a lost eternity. Oh, my beloved friend, God doesn't want you to go on in that pathway. God doesn't want you to go to the lost sinner's eternity. God wants you to stop, my friend, and to face the issues honestly in the light of His Word. God wants you to be saved. Then I thought of a man called Felix. You know, this man had the privilege of listening to the Prince of Preachers, Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ. And mind you, he didn't pull any punches. He spoke very plainly about sin and about judgment to come. And I want to tell you, friend, the Spirit of God drove the message home to the heart of that man, Felix. Yes, he was the governor. He was the judge sitting in the seat of judgment. But on that occasion, the Spirit of God was making him realize he was a sinner, lost, undone. And we read that Felix trembled. You know, I believe that man was convinced. Convicted. He was convicted, but you know, he wasn't converted. You see, friend, it's possible for us to become stirred up about the matter of our sin and fail to get to Christ. Oh, that enemy is determined to keep you from the one who loved you and who died for your sins at Calvary. He's determined, friend, to keep you from opening your heart to Him and receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. That man trembled. Felix trembled. And he said, go thy way for this time. In other words, not tonight. Oh, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. He intended, beloved friend, to be saved. But as far as the word of God is concerned, he went on in his sin to judgment. Convicted. But not converted. Now the first man we mentioned, we believe he's a picture of a person that was not convicted and not converted, absolutely indifferent to the whole thing. What an awful awakening for that man, or for anyone that goes that pathway, deceived by the enemy, and finally their eyes open. Yes, and beginning to pray. Because you know you may never have prayed in your life, but there'll come a time when you will. There'll come a time when you'll pray. You know, friend, if you pass from this scene without Christ, you may pray then, but it'll be too late. But you know, salvation. There's a third man in our Bible that I'd like to mention. His name is Simon. He's found in Acts chapter 8. Oh, God was doing a wonderful work. God was using Philip as he preached Christ, as he lifted up Christ, the only Savior of sin. And my, there was a real moving of God in Samaria. Souls were being saved. And we read these words. And Simon believed also and was baptized. If you know, friend, you read down a little further. And we have these solemn words. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And Peter says, repent, if peradventure God will hear and forgive. There was a man, beloved friend, who had a conversion, if you like, or professed to be saved, but he'd never been convicted. You know, it's possible to believe without being saved. You know, I say that looking back over my own life, brought up under the sound of the gospel, from my earliest days, I can no friend, believing about them is not salvation. And we would want you to be absolutely sure that you put your trust in Him. That you have believed on Him as the one who died for you and paid your sin debt. And that you are trusting Him and trusting Him only. And trusting Him 100%. Nothing but Christ. Because, friend, only the Lord Jesus Christ and only trust in Christ will give you, will bring to you the blessing of God's salvation. What an awful thing. You know, the enemy is such a deceiver. Such a deceiver. Oh, he would have us to be satisfied with anything but the real thing. Friend, don't be like Simon. Oh, don't be like Gallio. Don't be like Felix. Don't be like Simon. Let me mention one further as I close. And that is in Acts chapter 16. We don't have the name of a man. But he was a jailer, a jailkeeper in Philippi long ago. And one night, beloved friend, God gave that jail a good shaking. Oh, that he would shake you, dear friend. I wish you well. I wish you the very best of blessing. But I say, oh, that God would shake you out of your indifference, out of your carelessness, out of your sleepiness, sleeping on the very verge of a lost eternity. Eternity, friend. Eternity. Eternity where? Is it going to be with Christ in heaven? Or with fiends in despair. You may be deciding tonight. But that man, that jailer at Philippi, God awakened him. Oh, how wonderful. I'm so thankful God awakened me. I'm so thankful for that moment, friend, when the most important matter to me was to be saved and sure of it. Are you saved and sure of it tonight? God wants you to be saved and sure of it. And that dear man aroused and awakened. The Spirit of God had spoken to him. And we hear the cry of that man. What must I do to be saved? I wonder if that's the language of your heart. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, that's the language that God would like to hear. He'd like to hear you crying out, oh, what must I do to be saved? That man was convicted of his sin. That man wasn't thinking about something else. He wasn't thinking about getting along in this world. What he wanted was God's salvation, friend. Do you want it tonight? Is that the most important matter of your life, friend? I want to tell you, but it is, you wouldn't leave this meeting until you had the matter settled. Oh, listen. This man was not only convicted, but he was converted that night. Oh, listen to the answer the dear men of God gave him from their prison cell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not just to believe about Him, Oh, I hope you do believe about him. Yes. Do you really believe that he was the Son of God, that because he loved you, he came into this world and he went to the place called Calvary and died for you? Believe it, friend. And then receive him as your Savior. Trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit yourself to him. And what's the word, God's word for it? Thou shalt be saved. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, how we pray that God may shine his light into your darkened heart tonight. And that you may discover, friend, just where you stand in the light of God and of eternity. And then that God may shine into your heart the light of the knowledge of his beloved Son. What he did for you at Calvary. Oh, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus your guilt was not laid, why from his side flowed that sin-cleansing blood? If his dying your debt has not paid. Friend, he cried, it is finished. The work is done. God says, commit yourself to him. Trust him. Or, if you like a different word than I did when I got saved, I just couldn't get believing on him into my mind, into my head. It just seemed to be too big, too much of a problem. And the dear man, he brought me to another verse. As many as receive him. Have you received him? Oh, beloved friend, if you haven't received him, why not say yes to him tonight? Why not receive him now? Yes, from your very heart. Tell him, yes, I am a guilty sinner, but I believe you died for my sin. You paid my sin debt. And I right now will receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. The jailer was convicted and he was converted. How about you? Oh friend, nothing less will do. You could be like, yes, and our time's gone. God grant that you be like the jailer. God grant. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, oh, we thank thee for a God interested in lost, guilty, sinful men. We thank thee, Father, for the mighty evidences of this, all through thy word, and the greatest proof thou didst give thy Son to die for sinners, to die for us on the cross. And we thank thee, Father, that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, the punishment we deserve. And we thank thee that ere he yielded up his spirit, he said, it is finished. And we thank thee, Father, the one who died is alive, the living Savior. And we believe, Father, knocking at the heart's door of dear ones in this company tonight. Oh, maybe he's knocked so often. And some have kept him out until this morning. Oh, may they bid him enter tonight. May they receive him as their own personal Savior. We ask this, Lord, in the precious name of that one whom thou dost greatly delight to honor, and for thine own glory. Amen. Now I think we'll sing a verse or two of a hymn as we close the meeting. And let me say, friend, look, if you want to be saved, we'd be just so happy to sit down with you and try and help you. From the Word of God, you know, the night I got saved, the dear man, well, I was so concerned about being saved that I went after the preacher. And he was a big man, he took big steps, and he turned around suddenly and I landed right in his arm. He said, are you saved? No, he said, what's your name? And I told him, are you saved? I said, no, but I want to. Oh, friend, if you want to be saved tonight, you can be. This is the day. This is the day of salvation. Don't leave without Christ. We'd be glad to sit with you for hours to help you from the Word of God. But remember, you don't have to wait for any help from a preacher. The Savior's knocking at your heart's door tonight through his Word. Bid him enter while you may. Now we're going to sing 228. I hope you know this hymn, 228. Oh, why not say yes to the Savior tonight? He's tenderly pleading with thee to come to Him now with thy sin-burdened heart for pardon so full and so free. Just three little verses. I hope we'll sing them thoughtfully, prayerfully. And remember, friend, don't allow the enemies to cause you to put this off. This is the day of opportunity and salvation. You may never have enough. The Lord bless you. 228. Oh, why not say yes to the Savior tonight? He's tenderly pleading with thee. Come to Him now with thy sin-burdened heart, for pardon so full and